you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
So last week we dealt with Christmas, and boy, I uploaded that thing on the internet, and man, was anybody watching it on Facebook? Man, they was acting crazy. Y'all see that? I mean, I'm disappointed in you, G. Craig. All the research you do at you for Christmas, and you believe in a tree, and Jeremiah said that the tree, and you know what they didn't do? They didn't download, so they couldn't see the picture. So, like I told y'all, when you read Jeremiah 10, without having a visual of what they're talking about, you automatically think he's talking about cutting down a tree and taking the tree and putting it in your house. But of course, that's not what they were doing. They were cutting down trees, carving idols out of the trees, putting silver and gold on the idols, like I told you last week, nailing them down to the platform so when they carried the platform on their shoulders, it wouldn't fall over. It's like, you know, that was the worship that was going on back then. It was idolatry. It wasn't treeology. It was idolatry. Amen. We know Wiccans worship trees, but they don't worship trees like that. They're tree huggers. The last thing a Wiccan would want to do is cut a tree down. They believe trees are life, so they're not going to cut it down. Y'all saw that if y'all saw Avatar. Amen. They believe in them trees, in witchcraft. So, you know, people just, boy, they just messed up. But it's just a lot of religion and tradition, and it's hard to get people to open their eyes to certain things. So, of course, I left the thing wide open. I said, well, if you don't want to celebrate Christmas, then don't do it. And we're not condemning you. You know, the Bible tells us there were people that, when they were eating the meat that was sacrificed to the idols back in the day, there were some staunch, hardcore religious people that were saying, no, you can't eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. And so Paul said, there's nothing wrong with eating meat sacrificed to idols, but if somebody has a problem with it, you just don't do it in front of them. Right. Y'all remember he said that? But these folks want to wipe it all, you know, they just want to wipe it all out, you know, and most of them are just bitter because they had a bad Christmas one time. That's what it is. And so they just get bitter and they want to make a general rule about it. And everybody, and I'm like, come on, man, you cannot negate the fact that Jesus Christ was born. And you can't negate the fact that we in America celebrate birthdays. How many of you celebrate birthdays? You celebrate your birthday. Okay, so some people celebrate their birthday, anniversaries, whatever, special days. And so you can't condemn people to hell because you don't do it. Right. Right. Amen. I mean, I had 5 percenters and I don't know why they come to my Hebrew Israelites. Why y'all always coming to my page, man? I don't come to the Hebrew Israelites page. And I don't write nothing on their walls. I just stay and mind my own self business. And they just come looking. Just looking for a fight. So, you know, they were just all out of control. I even had one preacher. Don't you know that the Christmas tree is pagan because it's shaped like Nimrod? And he have a steeple on his church. Because the steeple, that's what it is. It's a phallus. But if there's a steeple in the church and you have church in there, well, will everybody in there go to hell? No. Y'all understand? Y'all mean? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have preached in churches with steeples. I've done the truth behind hip-hop in churches with steeples. Did the church blow up? No. But that's what it symbolizes. But, I mean, that money in your pocket got symbols on it, too. What you going to do about your money? Look at somebody and say, what you going to do about the cash? You just not going to use any money? Amen. Look at somebody say, everything's pagan. Everything is pagan because we're in a pagan country. What do you think Daniel did? Daniel was working for the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. He's in there with all the magicians and all the sorcerers and everything. And the Bible says he opened his window up and prayed to God 3 times a day. Because he was working in hell. He was functioning there. He had to work in a pagan society. Look at somebody and say balance. I mean, can we get some B-A-L-A-N-C-E? Because these same folks, I tell them, the same folks that's fussing about Christmas got weave in their head. Don't you know weave your hair was sacrificed to an idol, Callie? You didn't know that? The thuggy stole it and sold it to America? Oh, well, yeah, it's okay when it's on my head. Okay, well, then that Christmas tree is okay when it's in my house. That's pagan, but then got just spray enough cologne, a swarm of bees following the church. Look at somebody and say balance. I mean, we need balance, man. Folks are crazy, especially when you do a lot of research and stuff, you will go crazy. That's why you have to come to church. You know what I'm saying? You got to have somebody to balance you out. You can't just research for a living and you just at home and you never going to go to church or surround yourself with anybody to fellowship with or talk to. Nobody to balance you out. You just at home praying all the time and just all day long, all 24/7. You don't eat. You don't go nowhere. Nothing. Just lips crusted up. You speaking in tongues all day. Yeah, you have no balance. You're going to go crazy. That's like being in solitary confinement. Anybody in prison that's been in solitary tell you that your mind starts slipping. And it's the same thing. You can't do that. You need people. God made people to help balance you out. That's why you need a fellowship. That's why you need a pastor. That's why you need to go somewhere. Amen? Amen. I like truth. And I like Adamant Believers Council. I love y'all. Y'all know that, right? I look forward to this day. Anybody look forward to Sundays? I look forward to Sundays because we need fellowship. All right. Three wise gifts. Three wise gifts. And of course, this derives from the story in the Bible in Matthew 2 and 1. Let's see what Matthew 2 and 1 actually says. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem was with him. Why was he troubled? He was jealous. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees, he told the disciples, he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And then he said, "Beware of the leaven of Herod." What was he talking about? He was talking about the leaven of Herod was the mixing of the gospel and government. Yes, sir. Okay. Church and state coming together. Jesus said, "Beware of that, because state will lead church into hell." And Herod was king, but he thought he was religious leader as well. And so that's why Jesus said, "Beware of him." And so now he's jealous because the real king is coming. And when he had gathered all the chief and priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So he's demanding that they tell him where Christ will be born. Matthew 2 and 5, "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So then Herod privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Really, he's going to go kill him. Y'all know that, right? Because he had already killed all the firstborn trying to find him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Very powerful story. There are some things in this story we need to get straight, because people embellishing this story, trying to make it more than what it was, have added so many things. The first thing that they've added was it was three wise men. It was not three wise men. It was just three gifts. OK. And these wise men were actually magicians. They were magi. OK. So they were astrologers and they practiced star reading. That's why the star led them or was able to lead them to
Christ, and they weren't kings as well. You know, now they got three kings of Orient, the song, and, you know, people just, you know, they just want to make the story just, you know, I don't know why they keep adding. They were not in a manger, but they were in a house, okay? The manger time had passed because Jesus was a child. He was 2 years old. He wasn't an infant when they brought him these gifts, so they weren't in a manger. But I know that's the way everybody's nativity shows them, you know, with him in the manger in the little basket, and they all bowed down, and that's just embellishment because that looks good as a centerpiece in your house. But that is not historically correct. And then the names of these were not given. And I know they wrote the names of these guys and all of that kind of stuff. And we know that the Bible didn't give us the names. So it was all embellished just to make the story a little more exciting. We want to make sure that we get a good understanding of the three gifts, because these three gifts were very important. These guys were very smart. Even though they were astrologers and pagans, they were very smart. And then they did bow down and worship Christ. So we don't know their fate after that. I mean, maybe they just switched everything and began to worship the King of all kings instead of worshiping the kings in the stars. Gifts are not always monetary. We talked about that last week. Amen. Somebody's going to give some kindness to someone for this holiday season, for Christmas. Amen. Somebody's just going to change their attitude. That's going to be their Christmas gift. Amen. Amen. What's wrong with that? Right. Right. Amen. Don't try to cook it away. Right. Change your attitude and cook. Yeah. You're going to just make everything better with a meal. I know I called you a jive turkey, but how about this turkey? It's smoked. No, you're going to stop calling them a jive turkey, amen? Amen, and we got to look at somebody and say, watch what you say. Don't fly off in a rage and tell your husband or wife everything you're thinking. Right. You don't know how to just think to yourself? Right. You can't take it back once you say it. So you don't fly off the handle and just say everything you're thinking. Right. Wish I'd never married you when I first met you. I really didn't like you, but I went ahead and married you anyway. I mean, you can never take that back. Want a piece of turkey? I don't care how good that turkey is, it's not going to erase what you just said. Amen. Some of your marriages failed because of your mouth. Amen. Remember, you got to stay with this person forever. Why would you tear your own house down? I mean, go get mad and go outside and move some bricks, Joe Jackson style. I mean, there's something you can do to expel that energy. So gifts don't always have to be monetary, but they should be from the heart. The gifts that the Magi gave were expensive gifts, and they all had significant meanings. And these gifts were gold to honor Jesus as king, frankincense to honor Jesus as God, and myrrh was a sign that Jesus was a man, or to honor him in the flesh. First, let's deal with this gold that was given. Revelation 17 and 14 says, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is what? Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Did y'all hear that? They that are with him. How many of you are with him? Amen. Called, chosen, and faithful. Many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. You go to some churches, there's a church full of folks in there that were called, but they're a bunch of carnal devils. You know, you try to talk to them and say, well, man, you know, you need to really stop smoking that weed. You know, I mean, you being a Christian and smoking that weed, and, well, you know, I mean, I got to have my little, you know, I mean, I'm just not going to get, for some of us, we just going to be in the ghetto part of heaven. Many are called, but few are chosen, because the Bible says those that are with Christ are called, chosen, and what? Faithful. That means I don't backslide Friday and Saturday and then get it right every Sunday. I know this message isn't for everybody. Some of y'all just got it like that, but somebody in here backslides every Friday and Saturday. Obedience to him as your ruler and lawmaker is what this is talking about. Lawmaker, maker of laws. His laws and statutes should be followed. To be Lord of your life requires that you surrender your will to his. You cannot be a God king or king of your own life. We have that problem now. I talked about it in this upcoming video a lot of it is because, you know, many of us weren't raised with fathers. We didn't get the affirmation we need. A lot of us, our fathers didn't, even though they were in the home, they didn't give us affirmation. And so we outsource it from different places. So we seek approval of people and we seek to be desired. And so our goal becomes what we think God wants us to do. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I want to be famous because once I'm famous, I can reach a bunch of people for Christ. Well, wanting to be famous, you're going to have to sell your soul to the devil pretty much to be famous. You know, if God gives you fame, he didn't give it to you because you was looking for it. God calls those that don't want fame and gives them fame. Did y'all just hear me? Yeah, anybody seeking fame, you're going to have to use the devil. If you're seeking that, the devil will give you that. If you're seeking that from God, he's going to turn you over to the devil. No, you ask Satan for that. That's why Satan said when he was trying to tempt Jesus on the mountain, he said, all these kingdoms, all this power, he said, I'll give you. He said, because they are mine to give. Right. What does that mean? He said, I'm the giver of fame and fortune in the earth. That's what he was telling Jesus. I'm the one. I'm in charge of this. I'm the God of this world. So if you want to blow up in this world, call me. Oh, see, I can't get no amens because somebody's sending their resume and portfolio. I'm going to be a famous model. Why would God open doors for you to show your butt and be famous? Why would God invest in your superfluity? Does that even sound like God? But if he's going to be the lawmaker and ruler, this is why he gave him gold, because he was king. So if he's going to be king, he has to sit in the king's seat of your life. Only one of y'all can sit in there. One or the other. Either God is going to sit there or you going to sit there. And if you're sitting there, Satan is sitting in your lap. You're doing his bidding. Amen. That's it. That was only two choices. So if God is going to be the lawmaker and you're going to follow his statutes, then you got to get out the seat and let him sit there. That means you have to obey. Look at somebody and say, obey. And do what he says. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or the God of money. The Bible is stating that any other God, including our own flesh, removes Christ as Lord and King. He must have all or nothing. Look at somebody say, he wants all or nothing. He can't have a piece of you. He wants all or nothing. Frankincense, the second gift that was given to Christ, Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Offer him praise and sacrifice unto him. Our praise is just like frankincense or an incense that goes up to God as a sweet smelling savor. This is why they gave him frankincense, because it's like an incense and it goes up to God just like the sacrifice is used to. But now the sacrifice is not an animal. We no longer have to sacrifice animals to get the smoke that makes the sweet smell to God. But the praise of our lips sends the same pleasure up to God. Did you hear me? So now we don't burn an animal so he can smell that. No, Jesus died for all sacrifices. There are no more sacrifices. So we give the sacrifice of praise unto God, of ourselves. Amen. Do you know true praise and worship is living for him? It's not what you're doing in here. Anybody can sing. Amen. Can't nobody outsing a homosexual and a lesbian. Amen. Can't nobody out direct them, out play them, out jump, run, shoot the basketball. Man, you just ain't going to beat a sissy. They got all the skills. I had somebody ask me that. Why does God bless them all with the skill? What makes you think God is blessing them with skill? They just have to work harder to try to get approval. If you gay, you're already an outcast. So you got to do everything 10 times what the normal person does so that you can get approved of. You got to get to the top of the heap. Amen. So you got to be the best singer. So you got to practice all day, every day on your voice. Because then if you get good enough, people will overlook your bent wrist for your voice. Amen. But that's what it is. So they have to work very hard. They have to work hard for approval. But we should be giving God the sacrifice of our praise. So you don't have to be the best singer. You just give God your best. Amen. And when you're out of tune and cracking, just move your mouth. He knows your heart. Man, just give him a Hannah praise. That's what we call that. Hannah praised. Remember, Hannah just moved her mouth. She didn't, no words came, nothing came out. Amen. And don't be asking to get on the praise team. And you know you can't sing. Man, we like good singing up here. Amen. And good band and music and all that needs to be good. The Bible said, David said, call for the skillful musicians. Amen. Now, the joyful noises, you stay in the audience. And there's a place for you. Because, you know, we got all this sound equipment in here. When Tim turns it up loud enough, you can just shout as loud as you want and no one can hear you. No one but God. That's how we like it. But we don't have to give, we don't have to give a sacrifice of animals anymore, but we give the praise of our lips. That's why during praise and worship, we ought to sing and give God adoration with our voices. God actually inhabits our praise. So praising God creates an atmosphere of pleasure that he dwells in. Amen. Amen. So we know that this was a powerful gift that was given. This was incense unto Christ. And then myrrh. Hebrews 5 and 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I love the language of the Bible because it sounds so much different than the some of the sermons we hear nowadays. You know, you hear these Candyland messages because they'll only say, and God being made perfect became the author of eternal salvation. And everybody go crazy. They're going to leave that part unto all them that obey him. They're going to leave that off because everybody that's paying all this good tithes and offering ain't obeying. We still want the tithes and offering. So we just leave that part off. They can read that part for themselves. No, God is making this a contingency to this. Amen. It ain't gonna happen unless you obey him. Look at somebody and say, obey. And the singing ain't gonna override the obedience. Uh oh. Let me preach that message. The singing is not gonna override obedience. As a matter of fact, when King Saul went and tried to offer sacrifices, Samuel came and rebuked him and said, bruh, obedience is better than sacrifice. You went and offered a sacrifice that don't mean anything when you should have just been obedient. So I don't care how good you sing. Amen. If you in the gay bar Friday and Saturday night, then your singing is null and void. Jesus said there with their mouths, they draw close to me, but their heart is far from me. Because obedience, look at somebody and say obedience. Being made perfect became the author of eternal salvation. And of course, there's grace. I'm not trying to say you got to be perfect in here. And ain't nobody perfect. None of us. So I'm not talking that kind of language. But I'm saying, man, something in your life better be trying to line up with this. He paid for our lives with his human life to save our souls. His salvation is as myrrh and preserves us and keeps us till he returns. So this is why this gift was given, because myrrh was used as an embalming herb that they would cut out of a tree, and it was very symbolic even of his death, as he was cut when he was flogged and the skin was leaving his body. That's the way they get myrrh out of a tree. They cut the bark of it this way, and it makes these slits in it just like the stripes that were on his body, and it gets this they get this preservation like sap, myrrh. And it was very symbolic when they gave it to him, of him being born and his salvation preserving us, as well as him dying and him taking the scars for us. That's why I'm telling you, these guys were deep with their thinking and giving these gifts. When a person died back in the day, myrrh was used to embalm the person and preserve them so they would not decay. This is how Christ's love works for us. We are alive because he is inside of us, and we have eternal life to preserve us forever. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made what? Alive. Those that obey him. Amen. Myrrh also was used for medicinal purposes, and we know the power of Christ heals the sick and raises the dead. Myrrh was actually used as an ointment as well to heal the sick, or when you had problems or issues, it actually could bring healing to you. This gift was symbolic of what Christ did for us all, naturally and spiritually. Isaiah 53 and 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, just like the tree was cut and bruised just so that they can get that preservation and that healing out of it. And Christ, the same thing happened to him. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are what? Healed. These were powerful, three powerful gifts that were given to Christ. Our summary is Christ is worthy of our praise, our glory, and our honor because he came and was born to teach us, heal us, and preserve us, and now rule over us. We should give him ourselves, fully committed to doing his will. How many of you are fully committed to doing his will? Adamant believers. We are adamant about doing his will. If he is Lord of our lives, we should present him with gifts befitting of him. This would be our bodies, because all we really have to give him is what he has asked for. Though we may give monetary gifts to each other on this holiday, we should do as the Magi did and give him three wise gifts: our entire being, body, soul, and what? Spirit. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me read this again and let you see what he's saying here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy. So without God's mercy, you're not going to do it. Has to be the mercy. We need grace and mercy to present ourselves to God. Acceptable. Amen. Are y'all with me? Holy, living the best way we can. Acceptable, being a living sacrifice that God is pleased with. And he says, don't be expecting nothing special because you're doing this, because this is your reasonable service. In other words, this is what you're supposed to do. Amen. I don't believe in them Christians that, man, I live right all week. I know I've got a good job coming. Okay, first of all, what do you do the other weeks? And second of all, what makes you think God is moved by the fact that you did what you're supposed to do? Right. I am cussed in 8 hours. I'm doing good. God, I know he's going to hear my prayer tonight. Y'all are laughing. People think that way. They think that they're going to win some kind of brownie points with God when it's through his mercy anyway. Amen. And if you got a problem cussing, you just got a demon. Right. And that needs to be cast out. Right. That you present your body's living sacrifice, holy. What God wants. And that is just reasonable for all of us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole what? Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's what that myrrh, the myrrh from Christ, his blood will preserve us blameless. Don't mean you've never done anything wrong. It just means we are covered by the blood. That's what that myrrh represented. Amen? Amen. We want to give God those three gifts, and not just for the holiday season. We want to give him this every day. Paul says he had to die daily. We want to give him our minds, our bodies, and our spirits every single day.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.
EX Ministries presents The Truth Behind Hip Hop Part 7.
Madre de todos los dioses.
So what did Satan do? I gotta fake it. I gotta create Nimrod and Samiris, and I gotta make it look like the Virgin Mary. I gotta start Catholicism, where I corrupt Pentecostalism and make the Pentecostals do the things that the Catholics do. I gotta mess it up. I gotta mess up Christianity. I gotta get the preachers doing the things that the world do. I gotta somehow mess this thing up.
7 p.m. January the 6th, 2012.
We've been deceived by musical artists and politicians, and we believe that they have a form of Christ, and they don't.
Mother of all gods.
My favorite singers worship the devil. My favorite artists and entertainers worship the devil. And God, I love them more than you. I gotta change that.
Located at Cornerstone Baptist Church, 5415 Matlock Road, Arlington, Texas, 76018. Admission is free. Free. For more information or special seating, call 214-793-3120.